Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And boy, it's great to see all of you. I feel like it's been forever. And in a manner of speaking, it has, if you consider having a week off between recording shows forever. Also, Patrice, every time you take a drink out of your mug, I am worried you're going to poke an eye out. I mean, I love the mug, but the unicorn's horn,
it's fine. It's designed in a way. It's designed in a way that is basically impossible. It's also not very sharp.
I'd have that unicorn horn jammed up my nose in no time, I think.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I can visualize it right now. Yep. Anyhow, awesome people here. Clearly, Patrice is a more competent drinker than Tom or I happen to be. I presume, Ian, you would fail at drinking as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It would end up all over me and my beard and all sorts.
Yeah.
It's just the way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And anyhow, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know where time is running because it's been... Yeah, I mean, there were no shows last week, which was good because I was anyway out. I had a friend come over and we walked about, 55 kilometers in 3 days or something. In Vienna, in the city, we didn't go for a hike or something. We literally just walked from place to place and from dinner to whatever and back to the hotel and all of that. Yeah, and I went flying and it's already Thursday and I'm like, where did the time go? Like, it just disappeared. Poof. It's almost Christmas.
Oh. Yeah, Patrice, I emotionally, I think I finally have caught up to last Wednesday.
Okay.
Not yesterday, last Wednesday.
I thought Wednesday last year.
Oh, yeah, I should look at the date. It might actually be Wednesday last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I feel your pain, Patrice, and I'm there with you. Yeah. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Feeling good today. I've been fighting with my home insurance company for the last month.
Oh, you must be living in the United States.
Exactly. So yet another American insurance scam story. So in the state of California, the insurance companies have to deal with the insurance commission to determine rates and how much they can raise per year and all that jazz. And the insurance companies are all trying to raise rates more than they're supposed to. So the trick is they tell you they're not going to renew your homeowner's insurance. And then they say, but we'll offer you a new one later. Okay, basically, you go from being a customer to not being a customer. And then when you come back in, they can charge you a higher rate based on the insurance commission rules. So I get this letter saying, we're not going to renew your roof needs to be replaced. I'm like, what the hell? So I go up and it looks fine. I have two roofing companies come out and inspect it. They go, why did you call us? You don't need a roof. I said, I know. I just need a report. Cleaned up the roof, took pictures and sent it to them. Listened to a very long-winded person on the phone explain to me how insurance works, which is very educational, but kind of a waste of 20 minutes of my time. He was very happy to explain to me how insurance works. And then Great. I got an email today saying, yeah, your roof is fine. We'll renew it. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I've only been a customer with this stupid company for 40 years.
Ah, it's nothing. You barely paid in enough at this point.
Right. So the thing about loyalty to companies, no. So guess what I'm going to spend next year doing? Investigating other insurance. Because I have my homeowner's insurance, my rental house insurance with them, two cars insured, and a liability policy with them. And I'm going to say
move
F you and move them. Anyway, that was my week. So I've been climbing on the roof. I love climbing on the roof. It's such a fun thing to do. And
I've learned that's not a good thing to do. I watch occasionally sort of like hospital and ambulance shows. And what I've learned
people
is
falling off
as roofs. I get towards 50, 60 years old, I shouldn't be allowed to do that.
This is
otherwise,
fair, yeah.
I'm going
to. You shouldn't be allowed to do anything.
Otherwise, I'm going to star in one of those shows. I'll be on the floor holding my leg with nice paramedics wandering around me, looking at how they can fix my leg for me. So,
but the best time to get up on a roof, Ian, is when it's wet, when it's raining, when everything is slick. That's the absolute best time.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom, you're so close. You need to wait for it to get cold enough so that it's freezing on the roof. Now go up.
Or in a thunderstorm.
It's not freezing where Tom is. Never freezing where Tom is.
You can't be there. You don't get that cold.
We've never had ice on our roof.
I mean, maybe relatively speaking, maybe he's like, oh, that 60 degrees weather is so cold. I can't.
It is. I was going to start with, it's really cool today. It's only 62.
Yeah, I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually 10 degrees Fahrenheit warmer here.
Wow. We got like 4 degrees Celsius, so that's about 40 or something Fahrenheit.
We're
22 Celsius here.
Wow, I'll take it.
It's in my 10, 12 Celsius here.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Well, we've been each day for the past several days getting a few degrees warmer each day. And then tomorrow it'll be a little bit warmer. And so like mid-70s tomorrow, and then each day after that, it's going to be progressively cooler.
The end is near.
Indeed.
Maybe. It's, you know.
All is going to freeze over. Just saying.
Yeah, probably in California, but I don't think it's going to freeze here.
Okay.
We've had one night where it got cold enough to like really develop a little bit of frost, but we haven't even had a killing frost yet. No indication it's going to snow anytime soon. And here we are, and today is November 13th. I mean, at this rate, we could well go into December without having any snow. I mean, there's some falling in the mountains, but not nearly as much as you would expect. But nothing down here.
Huh.
Yeah. I wonder what could cause that to happen. Huh.
Huh. Don't know.
Don't know.
It's probably just random chance.
Super just random.
Yeah.
Coincidence at best.
Yeah. You're just imagining things.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a very good imagination.
Even here, we're unseasoned. We walk here even. But what should be October and should be frosts and kind of coldish days is humid and sort of like 10, 12, which isn't right. Mm. It's time of year for us. We should have had that a month ago. And then this be now getting towards that kind of cold November. We're getting towards the colder weather. Hey-ho.
Well, I'm wearing shorts and sandals when I go out and run errands.
That's lovely. I appreciate that.
At this rate, I expect that I'll be able to wear shorts when I go have U.S. Thanksgiving dinner with my parents. I'll wear a nice shirt. I'll wear a clean shirt.
Jeff, out here, Santa Claus comes in shorts.
I've seen videos and stuff, and that's just so
you're lucky if they're wearing shorts and not banana hammocks.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Just head over to West Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes.
Yeah. Venice Beach.
And, you can tell because the banana hammock is now red and white striped. It's so, you know, that's when Santa says it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh my god.
I'm not even going to try and segue from that. Instead, I'll just say, Ian, how's it going?
Yeah, for me, it's so good. After the last couple of weeks, we've dispatched all the kids back to the various universities, so that's lovely. And then we can't blame them for the mess in the house anymore, which is a bit of a damn.
Well, I mean, you can. They're not here to defend themselves.
Exactly. And now, and this last couple of weeks, I've been building labs ahead of a new class I'm teaching, so that's been fun. I'm finally learning how OTP works. always presumed magic, and I didn't really need to know.
Magic.
But I finally, I've got magic. I don't need to know if it works. I don't care. But when you've got a lab and you're trying, and time goes on slip, you realize why it doesn't work. And then you go, all right, well, how does this shit work then? So then you go and have a look at Google and go, oh, I see now. The vagaries of Unix time, the vagaries of computers' internal clocks, and a bit of maths is basically how it works. That's all there is to it. And a bit of math. That's all math, if you prefer, for you. Other big people in the other part of the world. But yeah, that's really all there is to it. It's quite interesting, to be honest.
It's Ian, thank you for translating back to American English for us, because Tom and I were both like, what's a maths? Derp, derp, derp.
Yeah, I thought you'd be confused. I had to help.
Oh, I have a test for Ian. How do you say the word that is spelled GUACAMOLE?
Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Oh, you said it right. I was listening to James O'Brien Mystery Hour, and he kept calling it guacamole.
Guac is the way I understand it.
What is green?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
What is green and I don't know, floats in a pond? Guacamole.
I'm gonna tell.
I shouldn't laugh because that. Oh no! I'm just encouraging you.
And then you just made that up, but okay.
I have an advantage of my daughter's majoring in Spanish and history.
Oh, okay, so you know.
So I have someone who says it properly around the house, but doesn't sound like, and also doesn't sound annoying when they do it, because, you know, some people, you know, it's the cooking thing that people will do, like chorizo.
Chorizo. That's so German. Chorizo.
People say chorizo.
Schnitzel.
Rather than chorizo, which is how you're supposed to say, because that Z sounds like chorizo, isn't it? Yeah, and
chorizo.
That kind of thing. If you try too hard to sound, use the language of the thing, or things like paella rather than paella, as you should say again.
Yeah.
You sound like
karaoke instead of karaoke.
Yeah, exactly. It's those things that make you sound like a prat. Yes.
Yes.
But guacamole isn't one of those things, I think.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to send a message to James O'Brien that I confirmed with a fellow Englander that he's saying it incorrectly.
He's saying
thank it wrong.
Happy for you to do so.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, so I guess that concludes this episode.
Yes, we've talked about
translating between English.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, as long as we're here, why don't we do the other thing where we talk about some tech news? And Ian, I see you have the first story in our live chat already. So, I just read the URL and I'm afraid to read the article. But
I had to do it. I looked at it on, for God's sake, so I had to do it. The fantasies of Elon Musk. They are now building their robot called Optimus, and they're hoping they can use it to prevent crime. So it's
Optimus
robot.
No, it's going to do crime, so it's Optimus crime.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Optimus crime, definitely. It sounds like our favorite dystopian future really going on here, where you're going to have, if you're a crim, you're going to have one of these little robots following you around the place. And if you're naughty, then they'll take you away and pluck you back up again. But it's going to watch you and monitor you the whole time.
All right, so how long before...
If you can't see my face, I'm pulling very silly faces here and saying, really? And no, and oh my giddy arm. But is this, I mean, this is, now we are getting towards something that actually is RoboCop, are we? Well, that's probably my interest from this, ignoring Musk and all his bravura and all the other kind of rubbish. Interesting. And another thing he says further down, physical labor will be a choice.
Technically, it basically already is.
Yeah, right.
I mean, for some people, for rich people, it's a choice. For some people, it's less of a choice than you would think. But these days, physical labor is getting more and more a choice for people.
I mean, pierced thinking is also a choice for a lot of people these
Yeah.
days as well. So, but that's, I mean,
We shouldn't have people with that much money telling us how society should work because they have no
correct.
idea how society works.
Exactly
Correct, because
not.
they don't know how society works.
No, that's the problem
Not
with
when
these
it's
guys. They
around
have this
$1 trillion.
vision of stuff that absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah.
If you earn $1 trillion, at what point does this make any sense in the world?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It
When
makes no sense.
what the that wealth, if this year is going to $1 trillion, that
But
wealth could then be redistributed across the world and fix many ills, and the world will look at him in a much fairer and light and better light rather than seeing him as another rich bloke trying to tell people who haven't got any money how to live.
have you
Yeah.
seen the objectives he has to meet to get that $1 trillion though? He's never going to get it.
You know, I haven't done.
The
I just saw the
milestones of
headline of what
car
was it. No.
shipments and releasing this product and that product, robotaxi. I mean, what are the odds that Tesla and Elon Musk are going to figure out
Anything.
robotaxis with a car that only has cameras? There's no way.
Zero.
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 Zero. Yep.
Zero.
Zero.
Then and proven already that it's zero.
Right.
Yeah, but people still
Yep.
believe. So, you know, that's the only
Yeah.
thing. That's the only thing people still believe in.
So
Crazy.
with this stupid Optimus crime robot being pitched, I feel like I should do a quick little Google search and change my cool thing for today, and find a pocket EMP transmitter.
Oh, yes.
You've got a crime bot following you, and it's like, oh, no,
Zap,
not
zap,
today, Elon.
zap.
Bzzzt.
Well, it's like people that
Yeah.
burgle,
No.
rob houses around here. They have Wi-Fi jammers just to.
I have an alternative idea. I mean, Elon is like, I mean, known for dressing really badly, right? For how much money he has. How about we get him the Steve Urkel get up and like send that to him? I think that would fit.
Oh my God, I love that. And then the next time he blows up one of his rockets on the launch pad,
He can be
we can
like
get him on camera going, "Did I do that?"
Do you guys remember the robot story that Ewan brought 4 or 5 months ago, and it was robots trying to play football,
Yes.
soccer, and they were all just falling over. They'd stand up and fall over,
Yeah, the
stand up
Russians
and
have
fall
all
over.
over this morning.
That's the image I have in my head whenever Elon Musk says this is our robots are going to work great. It's like, yeah, right.
I
I mean,
mean,
you turn
no,
the
I mean,
robot on the back and it goes, you're gonna go, they can't move.
the thing is, I think they will. It's just not
Yeah,
gonna be
just
their
Elon.
robot.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was a video of
What Boston
it was a
Dynamics is
conference.
doing is quite crazy. And there's a couple of Chinese like companies and research companies and Japanese and so on. There's some quite good robots these days, but
Did you see the one from the conference in China of the robot on stage? That was impressive.
There is good ones. It's just not I don't believe a Okay, I'm not gonna say what I'm gonna say. I'll just say I don't believe it.
The thing is that
Fair.
with all this, if you can relate this back to RoboCop, and I had to quick check to see what the actor's name was, but when you look at this, when you look back at Elon here, he appears to look like Ronnie Cox. Ronnie Cox was the guy, the Dick Jones, the head of
Ronnie
OCP.
Cox.
It's Ronnie Cox. He's Ronnie Cox. That's who he is. It's not the I'll buy that for a dollar, but it's close.
Well, after Ronnie Cox's experience in Deliverance, I kind of cut him some slack.
Oh my
That's the
God, I
thing.
forgot he was in Deliverance.
No, I had.
So, this thing about robots, there's this debate about why are people focusing on humanoid robots when what we need is purpose-built robots? And I think security is a perfect example. You don't need, for security, you don't need something with arms and legs and fingers. We've had robots in indoor mall, even outdoor malls. The Stanford malls have them, where it's just a like R2-D2 thing that
Beep
is
boop
on. Yeah, it's on wheels. I
boop.
don't know if that is
You
that
just
the
push it
right
out
one,
the
the
way.
round one,
No, this is
and it just
the round one
that's
is
BB-8.
BB-8.
Well, not round, but sort of the bullet shape one.
Oh, the okay. trash that can is, one. Yeah, that's R2-D2.
That's R2-D2.
Okay. So they have one
Tom,
of those that just wanders around.
Turn in your nerd card.
Exactly. I was about to say that.
You know, I've only ever seen the first Star Wars movie. You, I saw it in a theater and you, I haven't seen like, it since.
You live so close to ILM. Like, you should know. You're right, basically in their so backyard. Anyway,
but they have these security bots that just roam around. They take pictures, and there's a guy sitting in a room, you know, who can monitor four of these things and see what's going on. That, you know, you don't need a robot with legs and toes and fingers and eyeballs. That's stupid.
That's why I always thought the fifth element was quite cool and quite interesting, because robots were in all kinds of shapes and sizes, like depending on what they needed to do.
Right.
Which totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we kind of got that, right? I mean, we have our robot vacuums, and we have like the robots that drive around and you can drop your whatever your plates on, and like all of that security robots, like all kinds.
I mean, I even think of simple things like, you know, in the office, just at the end in the office, they converted all the coffee making machines to automated machines. You push a button, you can get a really good cup of coffee.
Yeah,
I mean, to
good,
me, that's,
good
that's
is relative, but yeah.
You know, a very simple example of a robot that removed about 10 steps and worrying about who's going to make the next pot of coffee.
Yeah, now you worry about who's going to. Now you worry about who's going to clean the machine.
Yeah.
Well, we have people that came in twice.
Now we need another bot.
Yeah, we need another bot that comes and cleans the machine.
And it just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's that whole thing. It's not.
Yeah.
You just move one problem. You move a problem further away.
There was a cartoon or something like a couple months ago, about the whole like you know, the AI and AI are writing books topic, where like they were basically like, hey, yeah, we fixed the whole problem. We're providing the whole solution. We have robots creating the books, and we have robots reading the books.
It's perfect. What could possibly go wrong?
What like what else do you need? Like you basically end to end.
Sounds like AI.
Yeah.
AI getting trained on AI content.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it was referring to, actually. Yeah, business. Yep. Done. We don't need humans anymore. We removed them completely.
Problem solved.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Tom's story.
Yes.
Which,
my story is about Firefox adding some new features to the browser to obscure what they call the fingerprinting characteristics. And this was interesting to me because even, boy, it was probably 10, 12 years ago, there were companies that would offer a service where they'd monitor your website and basically give you a report every week of the people who are visiting your website based on fingerprinting information.
Yep.
And it creeped us out so much, we said, no way, we're not doing that to our customers. And that's when I first learned, you know, I kind of knew a little bit about this, but how not easy, but how accurate you can be by keeping track of people's operating, you know, people on a browser visiting your site. You get information about their, what browser that they're using, the version, what screen they have, what's the resolution of the screen, you know, a million different things. And from that information, they can get they can pretty accurately figure out who you are with a very pretty high success rate. So Firefox is trying to obscure some of that fingerprinting information. Of course, you have to pass some information to the website, otherwise it won't be able to serve you pages. But they claim that with no protections, the fingerprint identification accuracy rate is just above 60%. If you use what they call phase one projections, that drops below 40%, about 35%. And if you use all the protections, private browsing with all the stuff turned on in Firefox, the accuracy rate gets down to 20%. And I'm wondering, how would is this really valuable or not, or is it just a waste of time? And does it have a huge impact on advertising? You know, how many advertisers or advertising service companies are using fingerprinting as part of their product?
It's already too late for that. I mean, Firefox is quite late to the game. I mean, even Chrome mm-hmm. is kind of-ish considering doing that. All the other browsers basically have already done it. So Firefox is not the first. They're like, I mean, Apple did that.
Right, but I mean, Chrome is still a huge percentage of browser use.
Yeah, and Chrome technically says they're preventing that, though.
Not really.
How much is a question.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that it's Firefox, and I understand not that many people use it, but let's say Chrome does it.
Yeah.
How big of an impact would that be, and how is it really beneficial?
I mean, that's why Google has had so many issues introducing it and had held it back a couple of times, because they were. I mean, that was a massive impact on the search, on ad traffic and so on. So they pulled it back. I said, oh, we're postponing it, and it's coming back, and I don't know where it is right now, but yeah.
I think it's at least another year out.
Probably, yeah.
And, and to be fair, Google is an advertising company.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. They're basically worried about killing their own business. Firefox doesn't care.
But the reality is advertisers are moving on. Advertisers
from
are going
web browsing.
Exactly. Going to platforms like Instagram and TikTok and lesser degree
chat
nowadays.
Bots.
Yeah, to chatbots and so on. Like that there is other ways. I mean, like if you think that advertising is gonna go away because of this, then you're kind of
No, just one part of it. But
yeah.
You know, how does the user identification accuracy for something like Instagram in terms of getting all the demographic information and so on compared to all the data that's been
it's way more
for you over the last 15
it's way more
years.
Accurate you know why
you think so I mean
yes.
I'm just wondering with all the web browsing that I've done in 15 years,
you know why people spend so much time on Instagram, and they post their own things and their own thoughts and their own stories and so on on it. And they like consume a lot of things, and that's why Instagram is so good at surfacing what you're interested in, because it figured out what you're interested in.
Well, TikTok has figured it out.
TikTok did for sure as well first, and now, but Instagram even is doing it now.
Right.
So I mean, that's why advertising is moving away from that. I mean, with chatbots, like websites are less and less important, unfortunately. As much as that sucks. It will impact right now,
short term
for sure. Long term, they will just move on to something else.
And a chatbot, if you're using it all the time, probably knows 1,000 times more than your web browsing fingerprint. Right?
Yes. And with Instagram, you don't even need to fingerprint because you're locked in. They know exactly who you are.
And what your preferences are and what you like, you think.
Fingerprint.
It just gets based on how I use Instagram. I don't actually think Instagram knew that much about me. I didn't post that much, and when I did, it was a picture here or there, and I wasn't telling them where I was traveling, and not that much.
No, again, I use it minimal now, more observer than an adder. I feel like
I'm not in the demographic they're looking after. Looking for anyone.
It's still the 18 to 34.
Right.
That's the usual.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, Tom, you're over 34.
I thought he's under 18, but okay.
I have to get permission to use social media from my parents.
Okay.
I must admit, Firefox is becoming, again, I mean, I change browsers like I change my underpants, but honestly,
I hope you change your underpants more often than that.
It's an expression.
Otherwise, I never want to meet you. I'll tell you that already.
But no, it's one of those things where I switch between browsers regularly, and from current sort of things, I've gone back to Firefox mostly because it's the only one that doesn't end up with my work sweat tracking plugin in my browser. In my browser extension, we use a thing called Island, which is and so we don't, so it doesn't go in there. So I've used that for my personal browser, and I'm finding it really quite nice. It works well enough. It does everything I need it to. And I've got my pick for this week's actually something sort of related to this, because it's actually, from my point of view, damn fine browser. It does the job. And the fact I'm getting more stuff in it, I'm only happy. I'm just more than happy with that. I suffer Chrome for work, and I suffer all my agents, whichever one it needs to be. And we use a thing called Island. So that is a contained browser that's designed for the business that they can lock and control what content.
And you mean Island and not Ireland, right?
Yes, Island. As in
I thought you had to go to Ireland to use a web browser.
Yes, he has to go to Ireland to use a web browser because they're outside of the user. They cannot access anything now.
It's a Chrome browser with this company's particular shtick over the top of it.
Yeah, typical.
It's okay. It's a bit slow and sluggish because it filters the traffic. A bit, yeah. And then but it's handy for some stuff, but I'll use it for work related tools and I won't use it for anything else basically because it's useless.
But my favorite web browser still to this day, although I can't use it for most things because it doesn't have the support for all like Chrome plugins, and that's OmniWeb.
I thought you would say Netscape Navigator.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for one of those.
Can you even download Netscape Navigator still?
I think you can. Somewhere in the web archive or something.
Yeah, web archive. The internet archive.
And then I'd have to run it in an emulator.
Probably, because it doesn't run on anything current.
Yeah.
You never know. Might run on Linux. It might still run on Linux, to be honest.
Who knows?
Okay, that's actually kind of funny. I think, so I have an old MacBook Air that I installed Mint Linux on.
So tonight you're going to download Netscape and see what
I'm
going to
see if I can get Netscape on it. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Right. Patrice, tell us about your story.
Yeah, so my story is probably relatively short. I decided I'm linking to a Daring Fireball article, but if you're interested, there's a link through to the OpenAI blog about the GPT-5.1 announcement. I'm personally not a big fan of ChatGPT and GPT models. Whenever I try them, I don't find them particularly good, to be honest. But some people seem to love them, so hey, like, why not talk about it? So they announced GPT-5.1, and it has some interesting improvements. So a lot of people were complaining about GPT-5 being a 5.0 in this case now, being very cold. So it was more efficient it was better in a lot of sense, but it was more cold in a way of how it communicated with people. It was more robotic almost, and some people pretty liked the personalities that we got with 4.0 and so on. With 5.1, especially the 5.1 instant model, it's the one that probably you would use for most instant things like easy prompts and like, whatever, rewrite this text and all of that. It's also used in a lot of other products for the text side of things, not the knowledge side. It has a warmer tone now. It's better at following your instructions, which, it was really bad with 5.0. Sometimes it wouldn't do what you told it to. It's also a little bit more intelligent. They, of course, improved it. There's also a 5.1 thinking model, which is quite interesting because they tuned it a little bit differently. So it will basically, like, the problem with the thinking models so far has always been they're really good at complex things, but they're really bad at simple things. Like it's kind of like, think about a human, like you have some super nerdy professor about something. For the complex things, hey, great, they know what they're doing, they can figure out the craziest shit, but give them a simple task, like, I don't know, assemble this furniture here, and they're gonna fall over because they overthink what they're doing, basically, instead of just doing it. Right. So they tuned the 5.1 model, at least from what I got from the blog, in a way that it will spend less time now on simple tasks, which makes sense, and on more complex tasks, it will spend more time. And more time in this case means it will think deeper, right? So it thinks less on easy tasks and thinks more on complex tasks, which I think it overall improves the result, hopefully.
Yeah.
How it decides what's complex and what's simple, that is the whole magic behind it. But that's one of the one of the improvements of 5.1. There's some really good examples in Daring Fireball and also on their site. They did a good job like showing the previous model, the 5 model, and how the 5.1 model handles that. There is also some small improvements to the customization side. They had already introduced with 5, I think, some preset options basically for the tone of it, how it responds. And they're changing / refining them. So now they have default friendly, which was formerly called listener. They have efficient, which was formerly called robot. I think better names, to be honest.
Yeah,
both have updated, but remain basically. They're adding professional, candid, and quirky. So depending on how you want to write, how you want to steer things, that might actually be fun, like to do more quirky personality. Like some people like that. And of course they keep the cynical, which was formerly called cynic, and the nerdy, formerly nerd, options if you like align. So Tom, of course, would pick the nerdy option.
Sometimes I like to be quirky.
Yeah, yeah. And Jeff is then sometimes likes to be the cynic, right? No, it's not. Yeah, so that's basically it. As I said, overall improved, some nice extra features. We'll have to see what the community says, how good it actually is. But I mean, it's the normal like cadence. Like we're improving the models, we're like making them better at what we want them to make. Right?
Don't want the AI to be my friend though. Give me some answers. I don't to fix what you think of me or anything I do. And how the hell do you know? I read further down at John's responses to this with Daring Fireball, and I'm with you 100%. You know, I don't know. You don't have any clue about me.
It does have more clue about you than you would think. Some of it that you can change, right? There's options for that. But I mean, overall, people, I mean, we are social creatures, and we tend to, I mean, the whole idea of such agents, right, is that we see them as helpers, and as, I don't want to call them people, but as
we do
friendly
anthropomorphize.
Yeah, we do, and as friendly machines that we interact with, and we want them to be friendly to us. So we kind of, as you said, we anthropomorphize a little bit, and so it is good to have it more, it have it feel more like you're talking to another person and not talking to a wall or to a thing.
I would challenge that by, it's nothing but a glorified Google search. Why does it need to be loving towards me? It's a very clever, glorified Google search. Help me with information. Would give me links.
I think it's the misunderstanding. I'm with you if you had said it's nothing more than statistics. I would be like, yes.
Or pattern matching statistics.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I would say. The thing is, they're way more than Google search engines these days.
Right.
They're not searching. I mean, I'm constantly using them, and I'm using them for things that, I mean, you would have a hard time Googling. It's not information that's available anywhere. So like it really is.
Because my use case tends to be...
Well, that's your use case, but it's not what those things are.
Yeah. Your recommendation of Plexity is excellent, and it's been one of these great tools for doing web aggregation
for web searches. Yes, but I'm using WinSurf a ton of time, and it's doing things that you could not find anywhere. Like migrating migrating shit on my server is not something a Google search would allow you to do.
Yeah. I love a little
bit.
In the background, it fixed it. In the background, while we were talking, it fixed the blue sky issue that I had.
Windsurf.
Windsurf. Yeah, it's an agent. It's a development environment, basically, but it does a lot more.
I thought the idea of vibe coding was dead now as well.
No, it's not. It's not. It's only getting started.
Well, I think the problem is there's so much bullshit hype around this stuff that you get caught up in it.
Yes.
And you don't understand that there's stuff that actually works.
Yeah. But there's so many bullshit artists as well.
Right. Everybody's got an agent. I wonder if making it easier to change the settings and the tone and all this stuff that they talk about is a big boon to just normal users that just want to interact with a chat bot. Because the way you have to sort of modify it now, you have to be, or, you know, a couple of years ago, you have to be a prompt engineer to figure out how to sort of tailor it to you. It would be nice to just say, you know, they're not commands, but have a menu with six things that you choose from. You go click, 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 and you're done. You know, like settings on your phone or something.
Yeah.
Again,
I think that's a good thing. More consumer friendly.
Let my cynical hat on here. I mean, it is, it's one of those things, again, it's making it sticky.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's a mechanism of making it sticky.
People but making it sticky by being what people want.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I fear for the human race.
Well, I mean, too late for that.
Yeah,
I mean,
to be fair,
that's probably someone probably said that when Fire was invented. So that was probably a person like you who was like, "I fear for humanity. We're all gonna die."
I mean, the thing I see at the moment, which again, I know we're on this side of the bell curve, it's that thing of something going from being well new and it's exciting and all this and everything else. And we're going up this side of the bell curve, and we've got to get down the other side.
It's a hype cycle. It's 100% a hype cycle.
And we're still on that upward trend of the curve, aren't we?
Yeah, it's
far. I mean, I'll make all my silly noises, but in the end, we are on that upswing of the
every big technology is on that cycle somewhere.
So
I talked to a guy who's responsible for deploying and supporting Salesforce at his company, and it's a very well known company that you would know.
Yeah, heard of it.
And I asked him about AI agents, you know, AI agents from Salesforce. And it's basically his answer was he's an IT guy, so he's not the end user, but he interacts with the end users all day. And the feeling I got from him is, you know, basically we got all this stuff with our deal with Salesforce. So we're trying it to see if it works.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really found that those particular agents are useful yet. But, you know, the things have only been around for four or five months.
Yes.
So, you know, I think maybe a year from now they might be useful, and maybe half of the ones they release might be useful.
Yeah, but that's usually how it goes. Like 95% of the crap that gets created and companies get created and money is burned basically disappear because, well, turns out they were wrong.
It's crap.
It's crap. But there is the 5%, and those are then the things that really change the world. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, I'm definitely 100% on the side of AI is going to change the world. Not because of I believe the hype, because I see it how I use it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm running usually 6-7 different projects in parallel with agents. I could not do that by hand. It's not a chance. So that is, and I can do things, I really can do things that I usually couldn't, where I'm like, okay, I can easily just create a script that does that. And if I wanted to do that myself, I would have to find the time. But now I can just tell it, it's an easy task. But I'm like, I can't hire someone for it because I don't have the money for it or don't have the power to hire someone for it. So I'm like, it just would have never happened. So now I can be like, hey, create me a script that does that. Okay, done.
So I wonder if your 5%, we should track that, because that's the feeling that I get. It's like 5 or 10% of what's out there is actually real and useful.
Yeah.
I know in chip design, there's a lot of development work of using AI and chip design tools, and every company has 50 different agents. And from what I'm hearing, two or three of them are actually useful, and the rest are just a waste.
But that is normal. That is normal with any new invention, right? Any new technology, any new invention, you have to figure out what it is useful for, what it's not useful for. You have to develop the things where it turns out to be useful, because I mean that needs also time. And you will discard the things where it's not. And I mean, I'm also pretty sure society will change, and we will change opinions about, okay, like how do we value things, right? That whole discussion. I'm pretty sure that humans creating things will still be valuable because we
Of
are
course.
humans and we value things. But there will be a million things that are not created by humans where we're fine with it. It's like, I don't care. I don't know. The
If you can just.
sign on the wall, I don't care whether a human wrote that or an AI. Like, just, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, I suppose as long as the AI written sign is
It's
actually
correct.
correct,
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
then who cares?
Yeah, that
No,
would
if it
help,
gets the,
yeah.
if it has to get the job done for sure. Like, otherwise we have a problem. But if it gets the job done and it works, then I don't
Right.
care. But there's other things where I'm like, sitting together with you and talking, I'm like, that is valuable.
Yeah, that exactly is. Interesting sort of talking about AI. The company I work for has quite a huge concern that does data classification and data analysis. AI is a big part of their business because it makes that hard maths and that work so much easier. Because they can, because they can, the whole programmatical work that they can do, AI improves it. It's
It's a
one of those
machine.
things that was a chew of a job 20 years ago when we first started looking at ways of doing this. As we've progressed over the years, we've got better and faster computers, but now AI is powering that, and that's again where we want to see that being used. It doesn't make sure, I mean, I don't need it to tell me what time to get up in the morning or where or what or how I should relax, but I can make really good
Hey,
use of it doing that,
I would
or
take an AI
whatever.
that tells me when to get up in the morning.
No,
I call that an alarm clock.
That's my wife. That's my wife usually. I'm a human for
I don't have one.
that.
I don't have one, so maybe that's
Patrice, I think I do have an artificial intelligence for my alarm system,
why. Okay, it's called the
but
cat.
like, yes.
Yeah, that will be a bad
I no,
one.
I'm sorry. That's an alternate
Yeah,
intelligence
that's true. It's a
system.
different AI
It's
system.
not
Yeah,
artificial,
it's
yeah.
not artificial. I heard in a book last couple of days that I've been listening to a new term, AGI, human intelligence. And I was like,
That's kind of a
huh.
revolutionary
There's no
concept.
future in AI,
Yeah, I
Patrice.
think so. I think so too, because I'm like, we're not intelligent.
We better hope there's intelligent life out in space, because there's bugger-all down here on.
Yeah, there's a reason why no other intelligences are interested in contacting us.
There's a reason why we're looking for
Oh,
intelligence out there.
they were looking their own
that
way.
too, yes.
That away.
Yeah. Speaking of, I know a place where we often find intelligence, and that's in our live chat. Patrice, do you mind telling people about the live chat, please?
Sure. We have a really cool live chat, actually. It's at live.britishtechnetwork.com. It's actually a live streaming solution. So when we are like, we don't rely on the big companies like Google, like with YouTube and so on, that basically take your content for free, but then put a lot of advertisement around it and have people pay for it. Which is fair, but we don't want that. We have our own system on live.britishtechnetwork.com where we live stream every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show if you want to listen to us talk about Apple. There's a lot to talk about tomorrow. And yeah, there's a chat on the side, so it's quite easy. You can, it's like YouTube, video on the left, chat on the right. You can Like, you don't have to register. That's the difference. We don't collect the data. You literally just go in. It generates a name like the, what do we have here? The Musing Human, for example, or the Jolly Ar Area that gets auto-generated. You can, of course, change your name. Just tap on the purple button up top and say change name, and you can pick a name.
I dare you to read the last default name.
I will not. Well, the last Ian, no. Yeah, no. Anyway, like, cool system, and we have a live transcript as well on our website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. If you go there, you have to pick a date that you want to see the transcript for. You can go back all the way to 2015. Thursdays and Fridays are good dates to look at, because that's usually when the shows were. November 13th is today, if you wanna see what we talked about today. And you see, like, the links to the stories, other discussions we're having sometimes, and also cool things that are coming up.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Also, thank you to Aw Technologies. Why would I bother thanking them? Well, it's because Aw Technologies is sponsoring us. They're making sure we have the server space and the bandwidth to do all these things we do. That means you get to watch shows live. That also means if you want to watch or listen to show recordings later, you can do that, because they're making sure we have all the resources to make that happen. Without Aw Technology support, we wouldn't be able to do all the things that we do. So thank you to Aw Technologies. Also, if by chance you need to have monitoring at whatever your project site is, hit them up, because they are so good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great people. So yeah,
projects, live, like events, like concerts, like anything where you need any kind of environmental monitoring or video monitoring.
Yeah, they're your people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awetechnologies.co.uk. So, hey, thank you, Aw Technologies, for being our sponsor. And it is time for some cool things.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrice, you're second.
I'm second. Yeah.
You're second.
is that like on the radio when you're landing and they're like, "Oh, you're number two," and it means you're landing behind a big whatever, Boeing 737 or something? With your little tiny pinbox.
Like something like that. But,
okay.
But your plane has an awesome paint job, so that's the one everyone's watching. Cuz they're like,
"It's white." Yes.
But it's a really cool one.
It actually
is. Look at that little white plane. Isn't that awesome?
It is actually pretty cool, I have to say.
Yeah. Anyhow, Ian, tell us about your cool little white plane. I mean, your cool thing.
Funny enough, I had picked this before Tom was talking about this stuff. It's got an app called Firefox Focus. Now, I've made the move to go away from using Apple phones, and I've now got another Android one. I've got a Samsung 25 and it's excellent. But one of the things that I find when I'm out, because I was away this weekend, and one of the things I find is far too many ads when you use a normal browser outside of my ad-guarded network at home. I was trying to find a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
Firefox Focus is perfect. Web page I open up, I see no ads. I can read the web page without 15 flying ads coming around the page that I want to read. Perfect. Exactly what I need. And if you're using iOS, because I used to use it as a content filter on iOS. One of those, you can add content blockers in iOS. You simply go through, pick out Firefox Focus, and then it sends the traffic through that. So it then clears away fingerprint scanning, all the other rubbish, and just leaves you with your web page. Excellent tool. I've used it for years, one place or another. So now I'm using it as a browser default. And it will also, when you finish with the browser, delete all the contents if you want it to. So it's quite nice for the tinfoil hats amongst us. But as a browser, it's very useful. It's a useful way of surfing when you're out and about and not end up with 15,000 ads on your browser when you didn't want them. So I recommend Firefox Focus either as a content blocker in iOS or as a fully fledged browser if you're using the, and you want to avoid sort of things if you're on like Android. Excellent tool.
Cool. All right. Patrice, your turn.
Well, my cool thing is actually something we just talked about. I had it on my list for today anyway, so kind of convenient. It's Windsurf. So it's a development environment, but it's more than development that I do with it. It's based on Visual Studio Code, so anything Visual Studio Code can do, it can do as well. And yeah, it's an AI-based or an agent-based development tool. So I'm doing like anything from as a coding projects, documentation. I've written blog or co-written blog posts with it. I tried it. I just wanted to see if it does a good job, and it got a good structure. Let's put it this way. The rest I basically rewrote, but the structure was good. So I used that. You never know. But some documentation, especially, I let it write. I'm like, yeah, it looks fine. Like technical documentation, it's pretty good at. I'm not gonna win any writing awards with a good README file or something. Like it's probably not gonna happen. So I'm okay with it doing a decent job at writing the things that I don't want to write. Yeah, it's just a really good tool. I'm running, I think at any point, I think I have right now probably about 12 or 13 windows open across two Macs. Like I use it on my work machine. We have a work account, and I use it on my personal machine. I have a personal account. You will, depending on the model that you select, so you can select the model you want. So I will sometimes switch to different models depending on what I'm doing, because not all models are the same. I barely ever use GPT because it's just not good. At least not for the things I'm doing. But I use sometimes, there's a model that Windsurf has, SWE, that's good for simpler things. I use Anthropic's Claude models quite a lot. There's like, you have, I think, about 40 different models or something, your selection. They have different costs. So you have, it's a credit-based system. You pay, what was it, 18, 15, $15 a month, I think, for the subscription. And you get 500 credits a month. You can buy more at any point. They're about, I think, $10 for another 250, or something like that. Maybe it was $20 a month for 500, something like that. I don't remember, but 10, you can definitely, because I've done that this month, you can buy extra credits if you need them, depending on the models you're using. Some use two, three, and I think there was one that used 20 credits per prompt, basically. So there's some experimental ones or
That's a
some.
hungry, hungry prompt.
That is a hungry, hungry prompt. It's usually third-party prompts that third-party models that didn't give them favorable terms. But most of them are like between half a credit and 3 credits per. And some prompts that something I noticed with GPT especially, it would cancel pretty quickly. It would be like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Okay, I'm done. Or I have a question, and then you have to answer again. The Claude models that I use quite a lot, they run sometimes for 15, 20 minutes doing whatever you told it to do without stopping.
Wow.
So, depending on what they're doing, of course. If they have a question, for sure they will stop and ask. But if you told them everything before, they will be like, yeah, okay, I'll. Or if there's a good option, we're like, oh, I'll pick this option. Sounds reasonable. Let's do that. You can stop it, of course,
Where's
and say,
the processing happening?
It's a mix. There's some processing happening on device. That's why my Macs are running. Even I have a M4 Macs, but they're running quite hot. Most of it is running off, like on in server farms. It's
Servers,
not a,
that's what you pay for.
yeah, that's what you pay for, of course. Yeah. There's some. I think the local stuff is mostly all the tooling it needs. Like, right, it has to I don't know, use a terminal or write files or read files or do or like it stores some memory. It does some memories and it stores them locally, stuff like that. But the AI side really does happen off. Yeah, I mean it works for a machine that is not optimized for it. You can, as far as I know, also connect your own models locally, but I have not tried that. The online models are just too good, and even with pretty beefy Macs, they're not super optimized for this kind of work.
All right.
Yeah, Windsurf, good tool.
Windsurf. All right. Two cool things so far. So, Tom, no pressure.
Let's make it three. I don't think
Okay.
mine is as cool as Patrice's reads. Mine is podcast. It's a podcast episode, actually.
Nice.
And it's a episode of The Economics of Everyday Things. It's one of my favorite podcasts. They're short, 20, 30-minute podcasts where a guy looks at the economics behind kind of normal things that you know about, laundromats, private investigators, how do the economics work? And it's related, to the Freakonomics family of podcasts. This episode is about Formula One team. And I'm not a huge F1 fan. My brother is. I'm not a huge one, but you know, I'm a little bit interested. And it was really interesting to learning about the economics of an F1 team.
Mm-hmm.
And where all the money goes, how much money they spend, where they
in
spend
my pocket,
money.
I know.
Statistics. It's just crazy. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting is, you know, they race all over the world and basically every week. And for the heaviest items, the replacement parts that would be very expensive to ship by airplane, they basically buy two or three instances of that. And before the season starts, they put them on ships to get to mm-hmm. a port that is sort of close to the racetrack.
Yeah.
And if they need it, they can truck it there. And I mean, they're spending tens and millions of dollars on just basic logistics stuff because they have so much heavy equipment. They're moving around so fast.
Yeah.
Let alone the R&D for the cars and, you know, building wind tunnels,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a front end when they crash a car and the front end gets destroyed, just the part is like $150,000 to $250,000. Anyway, yeah, it's crazy.
Like,
and the guy,
numbers, isn't it?
And the main guy they talked to is a guy from Williams Racing that was, is and was one of the few non-car manufacturer related racing teams that has a long history. It goes back 50 years. They were bought by private
Williams
equity
back
and
forever.
It spun out. Yeah. So it was, anyway, if you like F1 or just like economic stuff, it's pretty fun.
I was fun.
Yeah. Logistics. All right. It's always about logistics.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
All right, well done keeping it all cool.
All
right, Jeff.
All right, so now the pressure's really on. We'll see how I do. Yes, I am bringing Lego today, and holy forking sure balls am I excited.
Oh, of course. You have to bring
Lego.
It's mandatory that you bring that.
It is. I have to make it so.
Yeah, you do.
So Lego
wow,
finally got the license for reproducing Star Trek models.
So of course you engaged with that.
I engaged, yes. so their first model they have or kit they've just announced, and it's going to be available on November 28th. And it is the Starship Enterprise from Next Generation. So Enterprise D. 3,600 pieces, nine minifigures. So nine minifigures pushes the price up. Also, cost of licensing gets factored in. So you can expect the price to be a little bit higher. Typically, Star Wars kits, you pay a premium for those from Lego because of the licensing.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a big kit.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I'm like about 60 centimeters wide and about 30 tall. I'm like, that is pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah. So $399.99 US, but with the nine minifigures, 3,600 pieces total. I mean, if it wasn't for all the minifigures, $360 is what you'd get
not bad.
For this.
Yeah, so it's
but
not bad.
$50 quid. I've just had a look.
Yeah, I think it's in line for fair pricing.
I would say so. The $40 for everything else, totally reasonable.
So why do you think they did Next Generation Enterprise as opposed to the OG?
Because the people who like the OG are too old, probably.
Yes. Yeah, and people like me who loved the next gen.
Yes.
It's a demographic thing again.
Yeah, it's also, I think, a number of people thing at this point. Like, there's more TNG fans than probably next.
I'm sure they did a lot of market research before they decided what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Paramount and Eugene Roddenberry's
estate
company.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm sure that that they had input on what would be the best to start with. And
yeah.
Right.
And yeah. So So the like this one, you can also do the saucer separation, which is
Which
not a
is so
thing
cool.
we ever see
Oh,
in the original series. So to me, that's another reason to do this one, because you have the ability to pop it apart and have the star drive battle section and then the saucer section separately.
Wow.
It comes with
That
a
needs to be
little
spring-loaded,
plaque.
though.
It comes with a little plaque even. That is
It
cool.
has
And a
a little
stand.
plaque, yep, and a stand.
Shit.
And what they're doing at launch, Lego does a thing called gift with purchase for some kits, and this is one of those. And so the gift with purchase is one of the smaller shuttlecrafts, and it comes with its own minifigure. So with the main kit, you get like all the main cast, and you get Guinan with it, and each figure has its own little prop that goes with it. With the shuttlecraft, you get Ro Laren.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it is a super cool kit. I covet this kit. I will openly say, without any embarrassment or shame, anyone who wants to buy this for me, feel free to do so. It's
Heck,
a yeah, it is.
I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna say I don't like Lego. I kind of mostly don't care too much about Lego, but I also sometimes like Lego. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of all over the map with when it comes to it. This is the first that I'm like, maybe I should buy this.
No, I get
I
it.
am
I
now.
totally
It's
get
big and
it.
I have no idea where I would put it.
I've got to work out
But
how to
I'm
move it
I
anywhere.
Yeah, welcome
like
to my life, Patrice.
yeah, but I'm like building it would be so much fun.
Oh yeah. Kits like this where they do like you get these funky angles built in and elements where it has mechanical parts that lock stuff together but let you pop it apart. And I mean, there's a lot going on in a kit like this.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, ah, shit, maybe I should buy this.
Yeah, when I saw the announcement for this one, I mean, we knew there was a Lego kit coming because the announcement that they'd gotten the licensing happened quite a while ago. And then I want to say it was late spring, we got a teaser. And the teaser was just this tiny little clip of a little Lego transporter pad with Captain Picard beaming onto it. So we're like, okay, we're getting next generation. And my expectation is, because this is the very first model they've done, that the kits that follow will get more diversity in what parts of the franchise they're creating,
If they're
but
doing a
we'll
future discovery, like that solves it for me.
Yeah, you can see them
I
doing
would expect to
discovery
see
again because they catch the
discovery at
audience.
some point. I can imagine, based on the Defiant models people have built on their own, Lego could do a very cool Defiant. And I also expect that
Cute little
down the
ship.
road, we will see another Enterprise D kit, possibly even bigger, that's like more refined. And because they learn a lot each time they design a kit, which is saying
Yeah,
a
of
lot
course.
because these are master builders coming up with this stuff. So anyhow, I feel like I was contractually obligated to bring the Lego Enterprise D today.
Yeah, you absolutely had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. I mean, you might
You
have
might well have
cost. You
cost me
might.
350 quid.
Yes. Where the hell do I put it? I'll probably
Patrice.
put it together and sell it to someone or something.
Right.
People will buy it. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be collectible, won't it? It'll be collectible. It's the first of the series
Patrice, I'd
separate.
apologize for spending your money, but look at
No.
what you're going to be buying. I cannot apologize
Yeah,
for
and
this.
I've probably cost you a lot of money too, so it's only fair.
So it's only fair. Another little tidbit about this one, and then I'll wrap it up. So the main shuttle bay, which is on the saucer section, that actually opens up. And so you can see inside there, and there's a
Yeah.
little shuttle in there. If you look at the main picture they show of
Yeah.
this kit, you can see there's a little shuttle flying towards the
Yeah.
hangar bay.
Yeah. Does it also make that sound when you open
Oh, I hope so.
it?
If it does, well, I make the sound, so
You can make
technically,
the
yes, it
sound.
would do it. But yeah, so the shuttle outside the bay, that's the release switch. You push down on that shuttlecraft, and it releases the latches so that the saucer section will come off.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Anyhow, there you go. I covet the set. I will freely admit that. And with that, it is time to wrap up. So, Patrice, when you're not figuring out how to rearrange your place so you have room to display your
Yeah,
Lego
so
Enterprise D, where can people find you?
might have to move for that one. You can find me almost every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and also the Mac Show on Fridays. So also tomorrow. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, where you also find some of the projects that I have released, and I think at least one of them was done with Windsurf. And social media links, all of that. And then Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. Mostly we're on Stargate SG-1, but every now and then we throw in a different show and watch like an episode or two or something of that. And I'm thinking like which one we're gonna release next. I think it's Jolinar's Memories, if I remember correctly. I think we did.
Oh,
I think we
okay.
did past and present. I think we did past and present. No, actually, Jolinar's Memories was last week because it was 61. So then it's The Devil You Know, the conclusion to that one. That is
Okay.
coming up tomorrow night or somewhere on the weekend.
Soon. Coming
Soon,
to a podcast player near you
Near
soon.
you.
I always try to do it Friday night after the Mac show, but I sometimes don't manage to or forget.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, you're a very important person, Patrice, and there's a lot going on in your world.
Yes, that's why I need 12 different Windsurf windows doing things for me.
Right. I'm looking forward to you telling me with great excitement and a sparkle in your eye about your new windsurf routine that automates even more of the podcast process.
Yeah, that's already happened. Some of the upload process and whatever is all improved by Windsurf.
I am not
Can
surprised.
I give you a text file that you take and you throw it into the WordPress template and
Easy. We do that
okay.
for Retro Rewatch already. I don't go into the UI anymore. I take the idea of the post that Jeff has written. And all the, I mean, what I usually do, putting all the links in the right places and checking the right boxes, whatever, it does it all in script.
Right.
And that was written by Windsurf.
But
And
think of
I'm
all the
pretty
joy
sure.
that I would miss out if I didn't do it manually.
Well, that's on you. I don't enjoy it,
Yeah.
so
That's on
that's why
you.
I automated it away.
It's just
Yeah,
so
so
much
yeah, I
joy.
guess it's safe to say of the two of us, I'm the only one that actually really goes into WordPress on a regular basis.
Yes.
Because I go in after I write the posts and put the elements in.
You
But I'm
do.
also going in and rewriting the Google search synopsis, and yeah, it's I'm fine doing all of that part myself because it makes me feel like I'm actually contributing something to the show.
Right.
Oh, you're contributing a lot to that show.
So,
And if it's only entertainment.
that's yeah. If all I'm bringing is entertainment, I'm still winning.
Yes, you're still winning.
Yeah.
That's a win.
Speaking of winning and entertainment, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am TomF at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Okay, Ian, your turn. Where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. My name's Ingrun and I work for Veeam. See, I remember every time now which time to put it.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you, thank you. And I also occasionally post on Instagram, TOA BOA, same as usual. And always, I'm here on a Thursday. All things being equal, and we'll talk shit and be a grumpy old man as best I can.
You're my favorite grumpy old man.
Thank you, sir.
I say that with love. Yeah. Oh man, Ian's going to be jealous, or Ewan, because he thinks he's my favorite grumpy old man. You can both be my favorite grumpy old men.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom, you're not old enough to be.
I am, but I pretend I'm not.
And I've never seen you grumpy.
Well, stick around.
I'll do my best sometime. To keep it that way. Yeah. Okay. So for me, Jay Gambit on the social media is most active on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. Speaking of Lego, December is coming up way too fast. So I'll be doing my Lego advent calendar again. I am considering posting that on Instagram as well, even though I haven't done anything on Instagram for like a year. I'm debating because there are a lot of people that will look for the calendar photos only on Instagram.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do feel bad about those people missing out.
Now, Jeff, imagine you buy that kit, that Star Trek kit, and you do that for your advent calendar every day.
It's, oh my God, it would be so cool to include this in the advent calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone buy Jeff that kit.
Yeah, we've already established that I'm not too proud to say, hey, someone please buy me this kit. All right, so then for shows, let's see. Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show and The Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch, and I think that takes care of all the shows. So with that, oh my gosh, thank you to all three of you for making me smile and making my Thursday early afternoon just an absolute delight. All three of you are wonderful, and I am so happy we're all friends. You rock, all of you. Hey, everyone watching, listening live, thank you for being a part of this as well. Everyone that watches, listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family too. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and sponsoring us. And with that, everyone, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. And then come back again next Thursday for The Big Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.